Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Corndale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about passivity again.
So first things first, if you did not listen to last week's podcast, I would recommend that you do that.
Go because listen to it.
What we tried to do was just talk broadly about, hey, what is passivity? How can you recognize it? What does it look like? How do you begin to see it in your own life? And specifically, we want to serve you men who are listening well by just helping you identify where there is passivity in your life and in your story. So that's where we started last week. This week, we want to continue that conversation forward and just ask, okay, once we've identified passivity, once we've seen how it manifests itself, how do I change? How do I become a man who is not marked by passivity, but who's marked by initiative, responsibility, action? So that's a great and a heavy question. I know for some guys listening, they feel like, man, I know I'm passive. I feel ashamed for being passive. I don't feel hopeful about change. So I want to encourage men who are listening. That's exactly where Satan wants you to stay, is in a place of just sort of defeat, and that the Holy Spirit actually wants to pull you to a place of change and a place of action. And so you need to be encouraged that you can change, that God wants you to change, and that he's given you the resources to change. And that's really what we want to talk about in this podcast, is how does that change take place? What are the key components of it? How do I put to death passivity in my life and bring to life a sense of responsibility and action? Last week, we suggested that some good barometers of passivity are avoid, abandon, excuse. So we said you can see passivity in your life by looking for places where you just avoid responsibility, occasions where you've abandoned things, you've left a job, or you've left a relationship, or you just abandoned responsibility, or if you make a lot of excuses, and it's always somebody else's fault and somebody else's problem, and something didn't go right, and it's not really you. And so a good place to start for beginning to shape a paradigm of what change looks like in this area is just to say, what would be the opposite of those three things? What would be the opposite of passivity, in particularly in those areas? And so I'm going to start with the last one first. The opposite of making excuses is to take ownership, to take responsibility. And even in our work culture here at Corndale, this is something we talk a lot about, of just if you make a mistake, if you do something wrong, the worst thing you can do around here is to excuse that, to try to blame it on somebody else, to try to say that it was, you know, because something broke or something didn't work right, or it was somebody else that didn't come through. And what we try to honor well is, hey, just owning it, taking responsibility, saying, yep, that was my bad. I dropped the ball. I didn't get that done, or I didn't respond to that person, or I didn't initiate in that particular project. And so, that's an example of the opposite of making excuses, which is just to bear responsibility. And we talked a little bit about that already last week. What are the opposites of those other two, guys?
In light of abandon, you need to commit. And by commit, I mean be present, be engaged, stay present.
The next one would be avoid. And the flip of that would be to engage, to be persistent in finding things to do instead of waiting for those things to happen, and you reactively respond. You're engaging. You're proactively taking on projects at work, projects at home, even taking on responsibility for things that happen in your gospel community or in your church. Engaging in those ways too.
So part of what we need here for change is a bigger vision. Dusty, before we went live on the air, you talked about you need to live for something bigger than yourself. And so we talked last week about part of the reason for passivity is that guys tend to only feel things that are immediately present to them. So I said last week, if my wife's unhappy, then I feel it. Or if my kids are suffering, or I'm not making the money I want to make, then I feel it. But if my church is suffering, I don't feel it. And the problem is that our culture is very much in that place where culture is at a place where it will let men be passive. If you don't want to take responsibility, not a big deal. We live in a culture that actually sort of honors and encourages and furthers passivity in men. And so part of, I think, what helps Christian men change here is seeing this from God's perspective, is having a sense that my life is not just about what's comfortable for me, what makes things work well for me, what keeps my wife or my kids happy. God put me here to make a difference in the world for His glory. He has something greater that He's called me into in terms of His kingdom purposes. And so to the extent that I'm passive, I'm hindering the progress of God's kingdom. I'm holding out on God in some way. There's a sense of God's made me for something more, and I'm not living into that in the way that I ought to be. And only when that, I think, begins to land on a man, only when he begins to see his life in terms of the stewardship that he has before God, does passivity actually begin to feel like a big problem. Because if I can get away with it, you know, there's some advantages to being passive. I don't have to take responsibility for things. I can coast through life. I can sort of defer to others. But part of what I've seen actually trigger change in men is beginning to relate this vertically and say, passivity is an abdication of what God put me here for. It's a dishonoring of what it means to be a man made in the image of God, and it's a dishonoring ultimately of God. And so the first step to change is repentance, is seeing life in light of that and saying, all right, my passivity is a problem. It's not just a problem because I don't like the results. It's a problem because God made me for something different than this. And until a man gets to that point, I don't feel like there's a ton of motivation for change.
Yeah, if I'm only concerned about my circle or kind of taking care of myself and getting mine, you know, to put it that way, then I can easily position myself to coast, and to just to kind of make it. But if I start to see myself as a Christian who therefore should be a member of a church, and then that church is a part of a bigger kingdom, or an employee who's a part of a corporation, and then our products can impact the world, you know, I got to be motivated and pulled along by something bigger than myself. So if I'm passive, I got to get a bigger vision. I got to get something outside of me to pull me forward and to motivate me. And so I think it's okay to just admit if you're not. So let's say you are a passive guy and you're not super motivated. It's okay to admit that and get motivated.
You have to admit that.
Yeah, that's the first step. And so you have to get people around you. You have to get into situations and scenarios that are going to motivate you. And that's where commitment comes in, because you have to commit to that motivation. You have to commit to those relationships. You have to commit to all of that. And that's uncomfortable, because you can coast right now.
Well, I think we've seen pastorally guys who were trying to call them into responsibility and into commitment, and they just sort of keep bailing and keep backing up because they're passive, and there's something in them that resists being held accountable, stepping in, owning things, being on the hook for stuff. But that's the only way those guys are actually going to change. The only way you're going to change is to have some people around you that are going to hold your feet to the fire. And so, Dusty, you're basically saying it starts with self-awareness. It starts with the willingness to say, yep, there's passivity in my life. Here's where it is. Here's how it manifests itself. This is true of me.
Yeah.
And I think until you can say what's true of you, you're not ready for change. Mm-hmm. True change starts with saying, here's reality. Here's who I really am. And no matter who you are and what marks your character, that's the starting point. And so for a passive man, you have to be willing to say, yep, I'm passive. Instead of trying to make excuses for your passivity and saying, well, I mean, it's just that I really don't like my job. And so, you know, like, it's easy to shove your passivity off on other people and other things. First thing you got to do is say, yep, that's who I am. And then secondly, to say, that's not who God wants me to be. That's the idea of having that bigger picture of why this is a problem. And then thirdly, to acknowledge, okay, God has given the resources to change. So now the change isn't magic, right? Change happens through grace-driven effort. And we're fond of the statement from Dallas Willard that grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning. Say, grace means I can't earn my favor before God. Grace does not mean it doesn't take any effort from me. Grace means the Spirit's present and His power is available to help me change. But that means I'm going to have to get up early tomorrow and start working on change. And so there's effort required for me to focus my intentionality, my efforts in the direction of becoming a different kind of man.
So you guys talk about guys needing a vision for their life. We've even talked about the theological implications of, you know, understanding what God calls us to as men, where do we point guys for those things? How do they get a vision?
Scripture gives you a great vision. So just the Bible is the key answer. But I think Dusty's fleshing out too. Oftentimes, community is an important piece of the answer because the community I'm in can help to point me to Scripture and pull me into it and hold my feet to the fire for what God demands of me. Let's just talk about an easy category for many guys. All right, sins of passivity manifest themselves in one of two ways. For single guys, it tends to be laziness, and for married guys, it's often laziness in parenting, right? So you just look at guys who say, well, I mean, I got a kid. He's kind of unruly. I don't really want to know what to do about it. You start to hear them making excuses for their kid's behavior instead of saying, hey, God's given me a responsibility to train this child up in the way he should go. I'm going to own that. I'm going to step into that. And it might be a lot of hard work, and it might be a lot of learning, and it might be some stuff I got to figure out about how my kid's wired and what it means to discipline him and what it means to train him. But I got to learn that. So that's, if you're a father, you can look in, what's your parenting like with your kids? Is your wife pleased with the initiative you're taking in the home? Does she feel like you're leading the children, or she feel like she's basically the one discipling and disciplining the kids, and you just sort of show up and take up space? And if you're a single man, just where do you see laziness? Where do you see yourself, adopting comfort? Just sort of wanting to maximize your free time and not have any obligations and responsibilities. Do you see a lot of that in even how you think about your schedule and how you think about your time and your investment? Those are two real helpful categories for guys to go, I see this here.
To add to that, it's also one thing to be a guy and to see kind of areas and have a bunch of ideas on how things should be happening, but then never actually doing anything. Does that make sense? So I think another way passivity plays out in men is I can have all kinds of opinions about everything, which I do, right? I tend to be this guy. But then to actually take action and to create change or to bring change to something that I'm critiquing or that I see a hole in, that's a totally new ballgame, right?
I'll tell you about a conversation I had with a buddy of mine a few weeks ago who's would not call himself a Christian. He's really intrigued by the gospel, but he's not converted. He's not all in with Jesus. He's not a follower of Christ. And we were talking about particular areas in his life that he wants to see change in. And what he said to me was, Christians drive me nuts in this area because the dudes I'm around who are Christians make all kinds of excuses of why they can't change. And he's like, I just go do it. You know, like this is a guy who he has a really strong willpower, but like his example is exercise, losing weight. Those have been things for him that he's just been like, man, I decided I was going to run a marathon. So I went and trained and ran one. Like, and I hang out with these Christian guys and they're like, well, I'm just praying about whether the Lord wants me to, you know, just like, that's just really, crap, man. That's, really, you know, busy, so another motivating factor I think here is realizing that when Christian men make excuses for their passivity, it hinders the progress of the gospel. Because a guy like that's looking on and going, well, dude, I can lose weight. I can train to run a marathon. How come you can't? How come you can't? You know? And how come you, how come you Christian guy, you know, your excuse is the grace of God has to change me. And I'm sitting over here going, well, I figured out how to lose weight, you know? Now his, what I was trying to help him to see is, you know, 1 Corinthians, what do you have that you haven't received? Hey, actually, even your willpower is a gift of the grace of God. And so I'm trying to help him see his whole life in light of the gospel. But I think his critique of Christians is an effective and a good one. And so I want to help Christian men say, look, to the extent that God's given you a will and the capacity to will things, that's what grace probably looks like, is you saying, I actually have the capacity to get up tomorrow and start reading my Bible. I have the capacity to read a story with my kids when I put them to bed tomorrow. I have the capacity to take responsibility for this financial debt in my household or to pursue a new job that pays me more in the range of what I want to get paid. I can do these things instead of saying, well, man, I just need some prayer because my job sucks. You know,
I think so much of it though is wrapped up in fear, because if I'm reading my kids a Bible story and they ask me a question I don't know the answer to, what does that make me look like? Like, I'm supposed to be a dad leading these kids. I'm supposed to be a husband leading my wife. If I don't have the answer to a question, or if I go out and do something and I fail, like that sucks. Like you're caught with your pants down almost.
Yes, and I know that's how a lot of guys feel. Mm-hmm. I just want to flip that on its head though and say, yeah, the problem then is you're prideful. The problem is you don't want to be caught with your pants down. Like, okay, so your kid asks you a question that you don't know. Is that the end of the world mm-hmm. for you to say, I don't know, that's a good question. Yeah. Let's figure it out together. Yeah. You know, like
get the answer.
A humble man can just look at his kid and go, yeah, I don't know. I've never even read this story before. It's the first time I've ever read this story right here in the Jesus Story Bible, you know? That's the kind of guy that I think is beginning to take responsibility. And so that fear, though it's really present, I think it hinders a lot of guys. They need to see that that's a lot of times just rooted in pride. And I'd rather look good. I'd rather look like I have it together than have it together. And if that's – I want to tell dads like that, especially in that example, Mike, I want to say to a dad, hey, you realize your kids are going to grow up and they're going to figure out the truth about you. Like they're going to figure out that you've been faking it and that really what you want is not to look stupid and that they're going to grow up and resent that. So how about instead – you just be honest with them, grow in humility, have the willingness to admit when you don't know. Because, man, kids love when adults are like, I don't know either. You know, mm-hmm. that's so freeing to a kid to go, oh, you don't have all the answers. Maybe I really do need to trust in God instead of just dad, you know.
I've had to do that even in my marriage. My wife, who grew up in the church, and she knows a lot of Sunday school stories that I didn't grow up knowing because I didn't go to Sunday school. I've actually never been to Sunday school. I wonder what that's like. But she'll like ask me this random theological question about the prophets or something. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Hold on a minute, mm-hmm. you know? I think we just have to be willing, Bob, to what you're saying. Say, you know, I don't know. But instead of trying to save face, let me actually create an honest face here mm-hmm. and say, I don't know. Let's figure that out together. That's what makes it mm-hmm. A journey together. I think... you know, we mentioned earlier that scripture is key, and I love, of course I love this. I tend to love black and white text, and Paul gives us one at the end of 1 Corinthians, which he's just ranted on sexual immorality and orders of worship and all kinds of things. And he says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, he says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Hmm. And so when he says act like men, be strong, he's not saying, well, every man needs to be very muscular and very strong. What he's saying there is you need to act like a man. Like, just do it.
Man up.
Yeah, man up, act like it, get strong, and pony up. You know, mm-hmm. that's especially after a serious rant for 16 chapters on everything that's jacked up in the Corinthian church. And he's saying very plainly, act like men. Mm-hmm. You know, let's dive in.
So I think passive guys can embrace change, and we need to bring together the reality of grace and effort mm-hmm. and realize, man, that gospel change doesn't mean I sit back and pray more and wait for God to change me. It means I look at the Bible, I see the promises God has made, I claim those promises as my own, I lean into the power of the Holy Spirit, and I begin to live in line with truth. I begin to obey. Mm-hmm. And obedience, I mean, I did a whole talk at a men's retreat last year on the law of sowing and reaping in Galatians 6, where Paul says, whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The one who sows to the flesh will reap destruction. And I just I kind of got after these guys because I said I think this is the one law in the Bible that we think doesn't apply, and that whenever we think we should be able to get different results, you know. And I said, hey, this is how life works. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And so look, if you sowed years and years of porn and masturbation, you're not going to reap overnight a healthy sex life. You're going to have to sow some different stuff for a long time in order to reap something different. If you sowed a bunch of passivity for your whole life, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and reap a harvest of really active, initiative-driven, responsible ownership. It's going to be small baby steps to put different seeds in the ground and a season of sowing that reaps different fruit. And so stop hating the fruit that's in your life based on passivity. That's not God punishing you. That's just the fruit that's grown out of what you've sown. And so don't hate that. Don't resent it. Don't be ashamed of it. Just acknowledge that it's there. Mow that crop down, man, and plant a new one. And let's expect to reap something different, but not magically overnight with no effort.
Yeah, and that's really good because I got to have a realistic vision for what kind of man I'm becoming, right? So this is where 1 Corinthians 16, 13 can be tough because when Paul says, act like men, be strong, I can even feel condemned by scripture in that and be like, oh man, I'm trying, you know? But what I hear you saying there is in order to act like a man and be strong, I got to realize this is who I am, and I got to have a long-term vision for who I want to become.
Yeah.
Bob, when you said grace and effort, I remember three specific times where I was struggling with my failure, and in those times, the community around me was able to surround me with grace, and it was because realizing the grace that I have from God and the love that I have from the Father that compelled me to be different, that compelled me to move on from self-centered effort and move towards grace-driven effort. Yuri Brito talks about the Father's relationship with the Son. He says, "The Son of God was not sent into the world unprepared. The Son of God lived in eternity past in the presence of the Father and the Spirit in perfect harmony and coexistence, so that when the Son dressed himself in human flesh, he knew that the Father cared for him. Jesus knew that the Father's love was undisputed. He knew that the Father would be present, that he would provide, and that he would be glad in him." And it's that truth, the love of the Father, the as he said, the undisputed love, that should motivate us to a life of hard work, heavy responsibility. Jesus bore the sin on the cross, and it was because of the love of the Father and wanting to obey the Father and glorify the Father in that drove him to that. I think it's the same for us. We read in Ephesians 5 where husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Love your wife sacrificially. That's a lot of responsibility to sacrifice yourself for the love of your wife, for the love of your kids, for the love of your church.
And you're bringing up two interesting things. One is, I think we probably underemphasize in good reformed gospel-centered circles just the importance of pleasing the Father. You know, like there should be this disposition in me, man, I want to please the Lord in what I do. And so passivity doesn't please the Lord. Selfishness doesn't please the Lord. Responsible leadership does please the Lord. And so, you know, even as we see Jesus bringing honor and glory to the Father in his obedience, we're restored to the image of God by Jesus and the Spirit's presence in us so that we can do the same thing, so that we can obey and bring honor to the Lord in our obedience. The second thing that's interesting as you're talking is you're reading from a theology book, you know, and I think for men, one answer that we haven't talked about in terms of how to change is we said scripture, you know, start with the Bible. Man, I just think guys need to know theology. The deeper you go into the reality of, for instance, the Trinitarian nature of God, right? It helps to give you resources to begin to see and make connections. And I think we live in such a pragmatic world that wants to know, how do I change tomorrow, that we don't often help guys do the hard work of, man, just get your head in not just in scripture, start there, but also in good theology and deepening your understanding of the character of God and the nature of God and what it means to be made in the image of God, because the Lord starts to use those connections theologically to help pull you to a different place and give you a different vision for your life. And the only way you get a different vision for your life is to think about it for a while, you know, to invest some time in thought and learning and pursuing a different course. I think we need to, there's two layers here. Once you grow out of your own passivity, probably the next category that you need to begin to work in is, how does God want to use you to help other men grow out of their passivity? So it's one thing to say, let's take responsibility for this in our own lives, but it's another thing to say, let's cultivate a community of men who are dying to passivity. And so again, I think one of the ways we can be selfish here is just to think about, well, I'm passive and I need to overcome that. And so I begin to hear this whole podcast in terms of like, what do I need to do? Which is great. That's a starting point. But more importantly, man, part of being a man is taking responsibility for others. Like, this is what Jesus did, right? He took responsibility for things that weren't his, you know? And so part of being a man is taking responsibility for others and saying, all right, if there's passive men around me in my community, if I'm discipling guys and I know there's passivity in them that the Lord wants to root out and change by grace, how do I help them in that? How do I get after them? How do I help them chart a different course for their future? So we need an army of men, not just who are overcoming passivity themselves, but who want to help other men do the same. And here's the vision I want to give guys. This is entirely countercultural, and yet it's what every man wants, right? Dudes are out there looking for a guy that's worth following. And so if the men in the church become the kind of men that guys look at and go, dude, that guy has his life together. He seems to know where he's going and why he's here. He seems to have developed some skills in leadership and parenting, and you know, he's going in a direction. The guys are attracted to that. Mm-hmm. Guys want to follow leaders. And so there's a role for us to play here, just as our culture becomes less and less masculine and more emasculated. The church has an opportunity here to say, hey, we're going to continue to cultivate healthy, robust masculinity. And as we do, guys in the culture begin to say, that's a place I can go to learn how to be a dude.
What if I'm not a type A guy?
Don't have to be. What do you mean by your question?
What if I wasn't the jock? What if I wasn't the guy always to be the first one to raise his hand and say, yeah, I'll do that?
So is your question assuming activity is easier for guys like that than it is for...
I think it's perceived that way.
Yeah. It seems like those guys that have an easier time not being passive and...
They can step over people, sure, whether that's a good or bad thing.
Yeah.
I even think the excuse of, well, I'm not a type A guy, is an excuse, right? It really, really what I think that gets dropped a lot in conversation and in scenarios because guys feel inferior to other guys around them. So they want to throw the type A on somebody else. The reality is, like we said last week, masculinity is learned. And so somehow you were learned how to be, somehow you were learned. You like that? That was free. Somehow you learned how to be passive.
Yeah.
And somehow that other guy in the room learned and grew into some confidence. And so... that's what you need.
Yeah, and I agree with Dusty. I think that's an excuse. I understand that guys are wired differently, and I don't expect that every man's leadership looks the same. It looks very different. And some guys are really sort of out front, you know, take the hill kind of leaders, and some guys are very measured, more systematic, patient leaders. But I don't think any guy can say, well, I'm not type A, so, you know, those guys seem like they would have an easier time being active. That is... an easy way to excuse passivity. And so I think rather than comparing yourself to other guys and being like, well, I'm not like that guy, so, you know, what I need to do is to say, okay, well, am I living up to the leadership God's given me, and am I leading other men? Like, here's the thing, dude. One of the reasons that attracted me to the Acts 29 Church Planting Network is when I got in a room with those guys, I, as a leader, said, I'd follow anybody in this room. Like, this is a room full of guys. I feel confident following any of these guys because they're all leaders. And so leaders know leaders, right? And they're not all leaders like me. They're not wired like me. Some of them are very different from me, but there's a sense of respect of I'd follow any of these guys. And so that's my part of my barometer for guys dying to passivity is just, are other dudes attracted to you? Would they say, man, I'll follow you. I want to learn from you. There's something you have that I want to learn and gain something from. And if so, that's good. And I think that doesn't mean you're a particular type or temperament of guy. It just means you're growing into a healthy leadership and guys see that and begin to say, yep, you're a guy I'd follow.
I would say some guys know exactly what they need to do and other guys have no idea. And so, you know, back to your type A question, I do think some guys are wired to see what they need to do, right? So they have a 5 to 10 year thing and it just comes naturally to them. I think other guys, you know, they need to get that. Somebody needs to download that vision for them. Somebody needs to sit them down, or they need to sit down with somebody and be taught, here's probably what you're good at. Here's probably what you're not good at. You know, let's try these things. Let's do this thing. But at least we're moving forward in some direction, right? So I do think there's a different wiring there. And some of that motivation comes naturally to other guys. But we can't, you know, we can't just play back.
Well, yeah, and that's just a manifestation of humility, right? Mm-hmm. Humility says, if I'm the kind of guy who I want to get somewhere, but I don't quite know, I don't have a good plan in my head, all right, well, how can I go find a guy who maybe can help me there and say, hey, man, can you help me? You know, like that's just humility. That doesn't mean I got to be a type A guy like that guy across the room. It just means I got to have the humility to say, hey, I'm ready to grow. I need some help putting a plan together. That dude over there seems like he's kind of a planner. You know, maybe he can help me. And so likewise, guys who are super type A usually need to, here's what's funny is like we typecast people into these roles. Guys who are really type A often need to learn rest, patience. Like there's a whole skill set of character virtues that they need to learn from other guys. But it's just not quite as transparent, you know? So a lot of those guys who seem real type A and like, oh, that guy's kind of a natural leader. Actually, he's a natural jackass and he needs to grow up in the gospel and in grace. And you might be the perfect guy to help him grow in that. And he might help you grow in some clear, you know, sort of extroverted initiative kind of ways.
Well, thanks gentlemen for attacking this topic one more time.
Type A.
Yeah. An aggressive word I use.
Word.
If you want to dive into this conversation with us, tweet us at Coram Deo Omaha. The purpose of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in. We pray that the things that we talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. We'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.